Greetings indeed from Milo Adventist Academy, and thank you for the opportunity, the invitation to come here and be at Roseburg. Special thank you, Dale Bryson, who called and asked us if we could come, for your flexibility. You know, I go around and go to the different schools for recruiting purposes, and what I experience everywhere is what they really want, what the kids really want, and I would add to that the adults of the church, is that they really want to see kids. They really don't want to see the principal or listen to the principal. They want the kids. And so today I'm the consolation prize. We had planned to have the One Voice Choir here, but we had another event that I wasn't aware of that came up even in your bulletin. Special time going on last night for the students in this case. But the good news is this is just warming you up for April 13, when we will have the choir to come and bless you here at Roseburg. So, but we are with our little group here to enjoy the fellowship of the Sabbath with you at Roseburg. Big Lake Youth Camp, a very awesome and amazing, great, special place. And I think I've even mentioned that yet even this year in this very church, that that's a super special, awesome, amazing place to me. But it wasn't always that way, believe it or not. It wasn't always that way. I remember when I was 8 years old, I finally had an opportunity. I was old enough to be able to qualify to go and spend a week at summer camp, and I had heard an awful lot about that place and how I've never been there before, seen pictures maybe, and thought, ah, finally, it's my turn, it's my time. I remember going to church up in Hazeldale, Washington, and getting a little brochure that they had in the Sabbath school room. And there was a whole lot more simple than I see today. Boy, the brochures that they put out with all the amazing pictures and descriptions of everything. But even many, many years ago, even simpler than it is today, it still got more than me, I'm sure. Kids all over the conference and beyond just absolutely excited for this potential, this possibility to go and spend a week up at camp and the great and amazing things that happened there. And so I took my brochure and I took it home and I read every single letter of every single word on the few pages that were there and just began to dream. And I went and flipped through everything and figured out just all of the answers. And I knew I had to be quick, because back then, even now, if you didn't get your application in with your deposit money really quick, you weren't going to get your choice, because it filled up fast. And so I talked to my mom, I talked to my dad, and I found out that they could help me this much. And I remember that it wasn't even quite enough to make the deposit to go to camp. And so I would have to work. And I'd have to do that real soon, so that I could get it back into the mail and reserve my spot. And I'd have a little bit more time to go and work a little more to get the rest of the fees together. And so I remember very soon after planning this all out on the paper, I had my name filled out probably before Sabbath was even over, and had checked the mark right beside the class that was my number one choice. And I wanted to go to canoeing. And I couldn't wait until the next day would come. When the sun would rise on Sunday, I could go over to the neighbors and say, "Do you have anything I can do? Because I'm trying to earn money to go to summer camp." And I don't remember if the neighbor next door just at that moment was able to give me a job, but I remember over the period of just the next few weeks getting some odd jobs and getting my help from my parents and putting that into the little envelope and sending it away and just waiting until it would return and to tell me that I was accepted. And I can remember very distinctly the excitement and the enthusiasm. Mail any day for a kid is awesome, right? But mail from Big Lake, it doesn't get any better than that. And indeed, when it did come, I ripped it open, and I was early enough. I was on time because I got my first choice to be in the canoeing class. Well, the days went on. I did go and do little odd jobs, and Mom and Dad helped even more than they said they would. And I got to go to Big Lake. I remember going up to camp with a lot of anticipation and excitement. But we had to wait. I had to wait until Monday morning when canoeing class began. I had never been in a canoe before in my whole life. And I was excited, certainly. But I remember getting a little bit of a surprise the next day to find out that you had to be qualified to be in this class. It was just a little test that you had to take. And that test back then was you had to prove that you could stay on top of the water. It's a real important thing, staying on top of the water when you're in this kind of class, they told us. And so we had to show that we could float. I was just a little bit concerned when I heard that, because though I'm sure that I'd kind of, sort of, learned how to swim, it was just, you know, playing in the pools as kids do, or in the shallow end of the lake, but I wasn't sure if I knew how to float. But I thought, hey, this can't be that hard. So when the time came, all of the kids had to jump into the water, and it was cold water. And I remember it took my breath away, and the first thing I remember was grabbing hold of the edge of the dock there, and couldn't feel the shore underneath me. So I knew, okay, well, what does it take to float? And they said, okay, everybody push away. And I just started to sink, just like the rock in the story. Well, I grabbed a hold quickly of the dock again, and they gave helpful little hints on what to do. Well, just take your arms and move them like this, and kick your feet as hard as you can. Oh, now I get it. So I, at the count of three, when they told the two or three of us that were left, because there were several, no problem. They're out of the water up on the dock just waiting for us. Well, two or three of us, after the little helpful hints, we try it again. I push a little ways off. I'm a little bit nervous at this point in time because it hadn't worked like I thought it would to begin with. Well, I'm sure it looked just like an egg beater or something thrashing around when I went about, but the same results. Down I went, and I grabbed a hold again of the dock, and remember everybody else getting out of the water at that point successfully qualified for canoeing, except for me. I was just a sinker. And after just one last little bit of advice, I wasn't very enthused about trying this again, because at least twice already I had realized that I'm just going down, and that wasn't a very fun place to be for an 8-year-old, down under the water and not sure was I going to get back up. Well, they gave me a little more advice, and I said, I'm not sure that I want to do this again. And they said, hey, don't worry, because if you just remember that we're right here, the canoeing instructor, and that's all you need to do is if you start sinking again, then just reach out and we'll be there to help you. Well, I remember the canoeing instructor, he was there in his swimming trunks, and he even had his shirt off, nice tan, strong-looking young man, and I'm not sure that I really thought about it at that moment, but I remember not only was the water cold, but so was the air. And I just thought, well, okay, he's got his shirt off because he's going to jump in and save me if I need help. So I can really just give it everything at that moment. Well, I tried it one more time. He said, push off hard and be ready. And then if you have any trouble, that's all you have to do is to just reach out. Well, I was not necessarily thinking about the verse that Haley read, but sometime later, I'm sure that just reminded me as I was reading one day in Psalm of that experience of going down. And I'd like to read it again in Psalm 69, verses 1 through 3 is where I'll read, and 13 and 14. And how many times have we felt that same thing that David maybe was feeling at that time as he wrote? And in Psalm 69, and starting in verse 1, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters that floods, the floods engulf me. I'm worn out, calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail, looking for my God. And verse 13, but I pray to you, Lord. I pray in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your pure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me. And deliver me from the deep water. Well, there was my Savior, that canoeing instructor, and I remember that he said, just reach out and I'll be there. Well, I don't know if he said those last words, I'll be there. I just remember he made me say, reach out and I'd be okay. So I did it, and I thrashed around, and yet one more time, I began to sink. And so I remembered he said, reach out. I thought it was going to be him, but what I found, I don't know if I saw it because I think my eyes were closed, but I remember feeling this piece of roundish wood right there by my hand, and he didn't jump in. He just took a canoe paddle and stuck it down there for me to grab a hold of. Well, I was even thankful for the canoe paddle at that point, even that much, and pulled me back up yet one more time. And this time I got out of the water, and I'm not sure that I wanted to go back in, but there was a profound disappointment because it was identified for me at that point that I did not qualify to be in the canoeing class. Well, surely there were many other exciting options at Big Lake Youth Camp besides canoeing. I remember this wonderful, lovely, for me, old girl, because I was just 8 and she was a staff member, and she said, oh, come with me and I'll take you to another class. And I don't know what I was thinking, but I'm sure I was thinking, hey, it's got to be just as good as canoeing. And we walked across the camp and over to this one building, and we walked inside, and all of a sudden I realized where I was. I'm in the arts and crafts class, and it's a bunch of girls. And this is an 8-year-old boy, you know? And I'm thinking, oh, no, arts and crafts. And I wasn't very good, but I was at Big Lake. And I remember, this can't be so bad. To reach out, that is a lesson that I didn't grasp so fully at that time. It was something that I really wanted to keep as my own secret, that I was a sinker. I wasn't qualified to be able to do this activity that I had looked forward to maybe for more than weeks, maybe for more than months. I remember hearing about this wonderful place for years, and I wasn't qualified because I was a sinker. And I remember going home after that week, and I remember it being a good week, aside from the fact that I had to be in the same cabin with my brother. That wasn't so cool, but today I would love that. But I wanted to keep that my secret for a long time, that I was a sinker. But years later, maybe not as long as an 8-year-old memory might think it felt like, I remember learning another story, hearing another story, probably right in junior Sabbath school class, a story of another fella that gave me lots of courage. And this story, you can follow right along with me in Matthew 14, where the story is told. We recognize the story very well, that being of Jesus when he fed a large number of people. And after that big, thrilling, exciting time, I'm sure, for so many, Jesus told the disciples to get into the boat. And the story takes up in verse 22, where Jesus made the disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. You know the story, how they're out there in the middle of the boat, and all of a sudden they see what they think is a ghost. And they cry out in fear. Verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it's me. Don't be afraid. And then Peter, bold Peter, who has life all figured out, it seems at times, he says, well, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Jesus says, come. Boy, the countless sermons that we could, lessons that we could take just from that one word. Jesus telling not just Peter, but all of us to come. Whatever the situation, you know, Jesus always bids us to come to him. Well, we know the story. Peter got out of the boat and he started walking. And it was all going well for a while. And then he too discovered a reality within his life, within his character, that he was a sinker. And I don't remember exactly if it was reading the story, hearing the story, just how much courage I maybe took when I realized I am not alone. I'm a sinker. But wow, I've heard lots of stories about Peter, and what an amazing guy I thought he was and still do. And he, just like me, he was a sinker. And I don't know how he knew. Maybe it was from those years or months of being with Jesus to this point in his life. But he knew one reality. Maybe he'd been taught in some way by Jesus. When you're in trouble, just reach out. And I'm always there. Well, I think just like with me and the canoe paddle, it's more than just reaching out. You know, it's an act of submission in a sort, I would say, for us. But God doesn't just say, you do something and you'll be all right. Because we know we have no power, we have no strength. It's not us doing the reaching out that saves us. It's the fact that Jesus, there out on that lake of Galilee, Peter sinking, reaching out, but Jesus reached down and grasped a hold and pulled him back up to safety. And the conversation, the lesson that followed that, I would love to have heard. But Peter, the sinker, realized that salvation's all in Jesus reaching down. Not necessarily us reaching out, but reach out. Colossians 2 and beginning in verse 6, kind of describes that connection, that relationship of us reaching and Jesus reaching. And I'd like to have us share a look there in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 through 10. I'm reading from the New International Version today, and it talks about the spiritual fullness that we find in Christ, in Jesus. And it says here in mine, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So to see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, here it is, verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you too have been brought to fullness. Certainly not something that that any one of us do alone. It wasn't my reaching out that helped me to get back up above, on top of the water, where all of us humans belong, at least in the long term. It wasn't just me alone, the reaching out that was necessary to get to the place that I belong. It was the staff member, or his canoe paddle anyway, reaching down. It's Jesus reaching down to Peter, as well as Peter accepting and reaching out, that makes that relationship such. I believe with all of my heart that right from the very beginning, on through to today, you know, we all have, in a sense, metaphorically perhaps, our day of creation when we're born, and just represents the true beginning, the very beginning. But for each and every one of us, whenever it began, you know, that symbol of creation, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that God created each and every one of us for community. As we read, and I won't go through the all of the verses, but as we read the creation account, He begins the first day, and He creates life. And do you remember, at the end of the event, whether it was, you know, short, you know, 20 minutes, and then the rest of the day went on, or whether it took the whole day, and Jesus paused at the end to reflect. Whenever it was, He looked and He observed, and He said, what? It is good. He identified the fact that what He had done through that activity of that day, it was good. And it continued for several days, 6 days. And every day, at the end of it all, He says, it is good. But there comes the day when He stops and He observes. And there's Adam, an amazing creation that He loved, I'm sure, ever so deeply. And He sees something and He says, what does He see? He sees that he is all alone. And He says, this is not good. This is not good. But then, I'm sure He had it all planned out. You know, maybe the first lesson of love that God gives to all of us through that experience, He goes and He creates Eve. And now, it goes from good to not good. It's not just back to good. It is very good. And that just tells me one lesson among so many through the story of creation, that we indeed are absolutely positively created for relationship with one another. You know, how on earth could it be that Adam was able to walk in the garden with his Creator? And How can it get any better than that? But even in that, and it's unfathomable to me that God could see that wasn't enough in a sort of way of speaking. Surely, of course, Christ, Jesus, God, our relationship with our Maker, primary, is everything. But yet in some ununderstandable way, at least for my feeble human mind, he recognizes that even that isn't enough. He created us a family, be it a biological family, a church family, a family of God. He knew that we needed not only the relationship with Him, but But he created us to be in community with one another. And so too, you know, we can see as the story of creation went, we don't know exactly how long, but as sin came into our experience, that even then, Adam and Eve did their own form of reaching. I can see as God is talking with them, and certainly sadness has come into this relationship, this experience, but I know that at that time, not only did God reach out to Adam and Eve, but they reached back. And I'd like to believe, I'm sure in some form it happened, that their arms reached toward each other, and there was a divine embrace. And I'd like to believe, too, that not only did they reach their arms around each other and their Maker, their Savior, their God, but Adam and Eve also acknowledged their need of each other even more so now, as they went and reached their arms out toward each other and embraced. And I'm so grateful for the gift that God gives to us of one another. But this isn't just something that we're blessed with when we're in trouble, to be able to reach out and be saved. But the greatest accomplishments that we can gain and see and recognize are when we're apart, when we see that we're a part of a team, of a greater good. Sir Isaac Newton, the great scientist and inventor, he made a statement that Newton recognized his indebtedness to those who preceded him when he said that the only reason I have seen farther than those who have come before me is because I have stood on the shoulders of giants. So recognizing that we can lift each other up, not just in times of trouble and need, but every single day, we can boost each other up and share in the developments of life, the growth that we have. There's a song, as I'd like to close with the words of this song by a group called Casting Crowns, and the title of the song is Voice of Truth. I'm just going to read the words to the first verse, talking about that story of Peter out in the boat. And it goes like this: Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith that it takes to step out of this boat I'm in, out onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone to the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is. And he's holding out his hand. But the waves, they're calling out my name. They're laughing. They're laughing at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep telling me time and time again, boy, you will never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth, and we know who that voice is, tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. We hear voices all the time. Which voices do we hear? Surely at times, hopefully more every day, we hear the voice of the one that loves us more than any other. The voice of Jesus calling out, saying, don't be afraid. Reaching out, saying, come to me. So something that we can always remember, that sinkers, they don't float, but they can reach out.